In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Monday, and there are so many great things happening in the world right now. I am so inspired by things. And yes, I realize a bunch of stuff's crazy, and we'll talk about that tonight. But on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show tonight, you're in store for, well, of course, Medal of Honor Monday. That's coming up about an hour from now, where we celebrate a hero. We are going to talk about being the shining city on a hill, freedom. We're going to talk about, we're going to have another just basic talk tonight about evil people, the enemy using your values against you. Nazism, the American president going to the Daytona 500. Some lady got both of her hands bitten off by a shark. The communists protecting their power base. Trump's firing government workers. Democrats are standing together in hockey fights. All that, so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I'm going to come back to something that we actually discussed a bit last week, because it's going to kind of set me up for where we're going. We're going to do a long talk about slavery and freedom and Nazism and all kinds of things right now, just on a grander scale. But let's start there with the slavery thing. Why is slavery so common throughout human history and common today? Do not think for a moment because we ended the chattel slavery of black people from Africa, that slavery's gone from the world. We're in an enlightened period of time. There are slaves all over the planet, including right here in the United States of America today. That's why they're bringing them in by the million, slaves. Why is that a thing, though? Because it's awful. Don't you find it awful? When I read about slavery in any form, at any place in history, I'm almost always mortified by this part of it. And you know I'm not a good man. I'm not a moral person. I've never claimed to be. I am not. I'm a bad person. I get that. But I could never see myself owning someone. It seems so awful and gross. Isn't it just awful? You would admit that, right? It's just an awful and gross thing. Even if you're not mistreating him, that's my slave. You don't get paid. You don't get a voice. Do this. Don't do that. You're mine. I own you. It's awful. It's gross. So something awful and gross that's obviously awful and gross, why is it so common throughout human history, including in America today? From the people were slave trafficking across the border, to, yes, of course, the chattel slavery of Africans brought over to America, and not just America, that was throughout Europe, to what took place in Africa, what took place in Rome, what took place in China, Mongolia, Japan, Russia, all over the planet. Why is it so common when it's so horrible? Well, here's the truth. If you set aside the moral arguments against it, isn't it wonderful? Now, I realize you can't separate those two, but stay with me here. I have what? Jewish producer Chris and producer Corey here. Now, they are husbands, fathers. They work their butts off to earn a good paycheck here. They do great work, but it would be easier if I didn't have to pay them. If they didn't have to have benefits. If I didn't care about their happiness. And look, I'm the one in charge. It'd be easier if they were just my slaves, wouldn't it? If you take the morality of it, take the moral argument against it, slavery is amazing because it gives the slave owner complete control. I have control of everything. You will do as I say. You will do when I say it. I have maximum control. You have zero control, no rights. Therefore, me, the one who is in charge, I will decide everything. Now, why are we having a discussion about slavery at all? Well, this comes back to the ever-present war we human beings, not just Americans, we human beings are in now and will be in for the duration of our lives. I am not a slave. I am nobody's slave. You are nobody's slave. But the people, the evil people, because they lack any morality, they lack any sense of humanity. The evil people who want to run the West, and in many places do run the West, they want their slaves. They want their slaves because they don't have any morality. They're evil tyrants, and it's just easier when you can control people. That's what it all comes down to. That's what all freedom arguments really come down to, the freedom to speak, the freedom to own property, the freedom to move where you want to move, the freedom to do these things. You, the individual, want that freedom because you are in control. It gives you the freedom to make your life better, to better yourself, to better your family, but those freedoms hold back the tyrants from doing all the things they want to do. It holds them back from getting more money, more power. It holds them back from taking this from you and taking that from you. Evil tyrants despise freedom. They hate it because it takes power they feel should belong to them and hands it to you, the free citizen. They despise freedom. You must understand that as we go into this talk about what's happening in America, in Europe, what's happening worldwide. We'll talk about J.D. Vance. What's happening out there right now? Why do these people want control? Because they see themselves not as representatives, not as prime ministers, presidents, senators, members of parliament. They see themselves as kings and queens. They see you as a slave. And they hate that you're not actually one. They hate it. And tyrants, we're not unique. We're not in a unique period of history. Tyrants have always hated the freedom of the peasant. Always. Because it's just easier. I want an army of slaves. I want a bunch of slaves. I want people to do whatever I say they have to do. I want people to say whatever I say they're allowed to say. You will live where I tell you to live. You will eat what I tell you to eat. You're not allowed to say this. You are allowed to say that. You must say this. Compelled speech. Tyrants and evil people love slavery now, and they always have, and that's why slavery has always existed. And that brings us to the world we live in now, where we actually have people, and this is we'll get back to America. We actually have people in a NATO country, an alleged ally, speaking like this. This is Germany on 60 Minutes.
Free speech needs boundaries. And in the case of Germany, these boundaries are part of our constitution. Without boundaries, a very small group of people can rely on endless freedom to say anything that they want while everyone else is scared and intimidated.
You understand that you should be freedom. You should have freedom from the government ever compelling you to say or not say anything. You realize that. And not just, let's understand what freedom means, because we're going to get to why I'm so inspired right now. I'm so excited, unreasonably excited. I'll explain in a moment. But you understand that the government should never, ever, ever be allowed to censor you, to tell you what you can and can't say. And we love that when I say, I love puppies. You're never going to want the government to step in there, right? I love Jesus. Sorry, Chris. You're never going to want the government to step in there. But freedom of speech applies even if it's speech you hate. If I was the most despicable person in the world, I hate Jews, I hate Muslims, I hate white people, I hate black people, I hate Asians, I hate this, I hate that. That's just as important, that I am allowed to say the most despicable, horrible things out there. That is everything, because the most dangerous thing, the most dangerous condition for any human being, for any citizen of any country, is when their own government decides this is what you are allowed to say and this is what you're not allowed to say, because that condition has always been used by tyrants to lead to tyranny, where the people are massacred, where the people are enslaved against their will. And what we have right now, on top of the Doge and the illegal immigration, and I'll get to all those other things, what we have right now is a United States of America that is reassuming its leadership position across the globe, and I am doing backflips. Have you ever heard me do backflips on the show? I'm doing backflips right now for what I see. I will explain next.
Missed out? Catch up. JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show with me, unreasonably excited Oracle, Jesse Kelly, on a Monday. Remember, you can email the show, Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. So we just had to talk about freedom and slavery and why the people of the world, why the leaders of the world, not just Germany, Canada, America, why they hate it so much, why they try to control you so much. But I want to go... to the base thinking of these communists, so I can explain why they believe these things, why they feel so comfortable saying these things. Because when I said to you that you should be free from the government stopping you from saying this or not saying that, you probably nodded your head and assumed, like I would assume, that everyone agrees. And in fact, you want to hear something crazy? To some extent, the tyrants who are trying to stifle your speech agree. So if they agree, why are they being tyrants? Why do they want to control what you say? There was a very, very revealing exchange between J.D. Vance and Margaret Brennan over the weekend. Before we play that, I'm going to play this from J.D. Vance, though, because I'm going to tell you what I'm inspired about. I'm happy about the Doge and the fraud and the waste, and we'll get to that. I'm happy about the illegal immigration. But I love my country, and part of the reason I love my country so much is America has been a shining city on the hill. That's not just a great Reagan quote. That means we spread freedom, or at least try to. I understand we've messed up a million times. We spread freedom around the globe. And we inspire others to be free. And more than that, more than just our inspiration, when people are not free, America, at least America's leaders, in my mind, have an obligation to point to people, even people who are considered to be our friends, and say, you are doing wrong. You are crushing the people. You need to make some changes. To watch the United States of America, instead of turning into the communist hellhole it was turning into, to watch it change course so rapidly, stand in front of the tyrannic Europeans and say things like this, has me doing backflips more than anything else I've seen in the Trump administration.
I believe that dismissing people, dismissing their concerns, or worse yet, shutting down media, shutting down elections, or shutting people out of the political process protects nothing. In fact, it is the most surefire way to destroy democracy. And speaking up and expressing opinions isn't election interference. Even when people express views outside your own country, and even when those people are very influential. And trust me, I say this with all humor, If American democracy can survive 10 years of Greta Thunberg scolding, you guys can survive a few months of Elon Musk. But what German democracy, what no democracy, American, German, or European will survive, is telling millions of voters that their thoughts and concerns, their aspirations, their pleas for relief are invalid or unworthy of even being considered.
So how does the tyrant justify his tyranny? Because it can be easy when you look at history's monsters, you know, the monsters of the past or the monsters of the present. It can be easy to look at them and say to yourself, they had no conscience at all. You know, Mao had no conscience. Ivan the Terrible had no conscience. Hitler had no conscience. Or today, George Soros has no conscience. Justin Trudeau has no conscience. Joe Biden has. But that's not really true. Every human being has one. God put one in all of us. How do they justify their tyranny? Well, I want to play you this exchange between Margaret Brennan and Marco Rubio. It's very, very, very revealing if you get past the surface layer stuff. Margaret Brennan sits down with Secretary of State Rubio and says, Nazism, the Holocaust happened because of freedom of speech.
He was standing in a country where free speech was weaponized to conduct a genocide. And you know that the censorship
I have to disagree with you. Free speech was not used to conduct a genocide. The genocide was conducted by an authoritarian Nazi regime that happened to also be genocidal because they hated Jews and they hated minorities and they hated those that they had a list of people they hated, but primarily the Jews. There was no free speech in Nazi Germany. There was none. There was also no opposition in Nazi Germany. They were a sole and only party that governed that country. So that's not an accurate reflection of history.
Now, how in the world... Maybe you're yelling at Margaret Brennan and calling her a communist, which, of course, that's accurate. Go ahead, yell at her, call her a communist. Maybe you're yelling at her and saying she's a dummy. We're not Nazis. J.D. Vance isn't a Nazi. No one supports him. Maybe you're this idiot. But you see, Margaret Brennan is not an idiot. Margaret Brennan is a programmed apparatchik. She has been programmed. And she has been programmed for the purpose of being a warrior for communism. It has taken decades and decades and decades to program American communists the way Margaret Brennan has been programmed. And the programming has been remarkably effective. You probably have a Margaret Brennan in your own life, a liberal Aunt Peggy. Do you have anybody in your own life, in your personal life, social media life, anyone on the left you've seen call you or someone else Trump a Nazi? Let's discuss that. How the tyrant excuses his tyranny. How does he get to that point? Before we get to that, how in the world can you not give your dog rough greens? Your dog, his food is garbage. I'm sorry, but that brown dog food is brown because it's dead. What color do the leaves turn right before they fall? They don't turn green, do they? Brown things are dead. They kill everything in dog food at the factory so it lasts longer on the shelf. I get it. I get why they do it. I'm not even judging, but that means our dogs never get nutrition. We think we're giving them all these vitamins and minerals, and they don't get any of that from dog food. Nothing. That's why our dogs die at 10 years old. Naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, Green Beret, I might point out, created Rough Greens, all natural nutritional supplement you sprinkle on your dog's food, live vitamins and probiotics, omega oils. You will see so many differences in your dog, such an improvement in your dog in every way. You'll be mad at yourself every meal you gave him that didn't have Rough Greens. You want to try it? Free Jumpstart trial bag. 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, a wonderful Monday, half hour away from Medal of Honor Monday. Maybe you can download the whole thing, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. We're talking about freedom, slavery, freedom of speech, America finally taking the lead on it. And now we're talking about how the tyrant, how he can get to a place where his conscience excuses him for his tyranny. And I played for you this little bit about Margaret Brennan, that moron, trying to tell Marco Rubio that the Nazis got to power and did the Holocaust because of freedom of speech.
He was standing in a country where free speech was weaponized to conduct a genocide. And you know that the censorship
Rubio pushes back. Very impressed with Marco Rubio lately. He pushes back. But it's not just Margaret Brennan. You've seen a ton of this. This is actually one from Politico. The headline of the article is, "After Munich, How Will Europe Handle Trump?" And then the subtitle is this. You'll love this. "Last week, the continent confronted its worst fears about the new president, but also recognized the need for a new strategy." And I'll just read you this little tidbit from the article. Talking about J.D. Vance, the moron article or author's, Jonathan Martin's his name, said this, quote, J.D. Vance used his remarks to tell Europe that actually their biggest challenge was from within and they should heal themselves by being more accepting of far-right parties. Never mind the worst land war here since World War II, Vance seemed to say, and never mind the fascists who began last century's war. Loosen up and drop the political firewall meant to stymie the rise of latter-day Nazis. Freedom of speech and Nazis? How do they make that connection? Well, I'll talk about America, but this obviously applies to the West. It applies to Germany, Canada, the UK. It applies all across the West. The communists set about doing something decades ago, and as you can tell as you listen to Margaret Brennan or read this moron Jonathan Martin or listen to your liberal Aunt Peggy scream Nazi, as you can tell, the programming decades in the making has been extremely successful. So I'll boil it down to this and then I'll explain. American communists, American Democrats have been trained that they're allowed to act like animals, to do all the things they do, the violence, the censorship, the everything, because they're at war with Nazis. But they've been taught their enemies are Nazis because they have been taught, wrongly of course, but they have been taught that anything truly American, anything truly freedom-loving, anything truly constitutional is equal to Nazism. I know it's ridiculous. I know you're rolling your eyes. I know it's absurd, but please stay with me here because this is how they've been programmed and you can never understand the American communist until you understand this fact. We already had our talk. You already know all about the Constitution and freedom and all these things. But if you're an American Democrat, things like freedom of speech, they are taught that is a Nazi tenet, that is a tenet of Nazism. And the reason they are programmed in this way is actually twofold. The American communists, the German communists, the UK communists, the Canadian communists, all of them, they are all programmed in this way for two reasons. The first one being their conscience. What we've been talking about, how does the tyrant, how does Margaret Brennan, how do these German politicians, how in the world can you stand on television and say something like this and think you're the good guy?
Free speech needs boundaries.
You say that because when you convince yourself you're up against Nazis, anything is permissible, is it not? If I was to take Heinrich Himmler, Adolf Hitler, and I was to tie them up in a room and hand you a gun, a knife, and a hammer, and I was to just say, have a good time, would you hurt either one of those gentlemen? You probably would. Why? Because what can't you do to a Nazi? Your conscience, because they're so evil, your conscience will tell you that anything, everything is permissible when you're dealing with Nazis. That's why Western Democrats, Labor Party, whatever they are, Western communists have been taught that anything American, anything freedom-loving, anything right-wing, anything Republican is Nazism. They've been taught that so their conscience will justify hurting you, censoring you, imprisoning you. You're not allowed to say this. I'm fighting Nazis. I'm not the bad guy. I'm fighting Nazis. We're fighting Nazis, right? I'm up against Nazis. That's the first reason. But there's a second reason, too, you see. American communists, they have programmed themselves and they continue to program others to believe they are fighting Nazis because it does the thing the devil has been doing since the dawn of time. It uses your values against you. The American communist uses your values against you the same way the devil always has. Here it is. Here's the Bible verse right here. Matthew 4:5. This is talking about the temptation of Jesus. The devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. The devil standing before Jesus and quoting the Bible to Jesus. This is a tactic evil people have done throughout history, and American communists do it all the time. When they say Nazi, stop rolling your eyes. I take that back. Roll your eyes. Yes, it's lunacy. Yes, it's wrong. Yes, all those other things. Yeah, it's crazy talk. There is a purpose to the talk, and the purpose is twofold. Excuse their conscience to do anything to you, because you can do anything you want to a Nazi. And weaken your will to resist. Why don't you want us to censor things on Facebook, on Twitter, on the news? Why don't you want us to censor things? What are you, some kind of a Nazi? They have understood forever that the image of Nazism is something vile to every true American, and Nazism was never popular here. They threw a big Nazi rally in Madison Square Garden, and the protesters outside were so loud and violent and more numerous than the people inside, they had to bring in the cops to keep them from beating all the freaking Nazis to death. Nazism's disgusting to Americans. The American communist understands that, and so when they equate you to that, they're trying to weaken your resistance to them. That's why they say the things they say. That's how they come out and say things like this.
Focus here, two things. One of them was migration, and the second was what Vice President Vance calls censorship. He was trying to bring that.
What Vice President Vance calls censorship. It's not actually censorship, you see. He calls this censorship?
And we were with state police as they raided this apartment in northwest Germany.
Hier ist die Polizei. Wir müssen bitte mal mit Ihnen reden.
Inside, six armed officers searched a suspect's home, then seized his laptop and cell phone. Prosecutors say those electronics may have been used to commit a crime. The crime? Posting a racist cartoon online.
How could Margaret Brennan, how could a communist like that hear a story like that from 60 Minutes and call that anything other than censorship? Well, these are Nazis, you see. As soon as you convince yourself, as soon as you dehumanize your opponent to the point where he's a Nazi, you can censor him all day long. And look at that. Lo and behold, you've managed to find an excuse to use government power to smash your political opponent. How wonderfully convenient all this turned out in the end, no? One more word on this, then we'll move on. Hang on.
Missed out? Catch up. JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Very, very excited that we are being that shining city on a hill again, telling the world exactly what we think about freedom, how their people should be treated. And no, not just scolding the likes of North Korea, who always should be scolded, not just scolding Xi Jinping in China, even our, quote, friends, when they go to the left, when they start suppressing free speech, even they deserve a nice little whip in the rear end.
I believe that dismissing people, dismissing their concerns, or worse yet, shutting down media, shutting down elections, or shutting people out of the political process protects nothing.
Agreed. And so Germany, of course, has been whining about it for 3 days. That's why 60 Minutes did a hour-long propaganda piece on the greatness of German censorship. And here's one of these diplomats from Germany.
After the speech of Vice President Vance on Friday, we have to fear that our common value base is not that common anymore.
Yes, you're right. That brings me to my final point. I think the United States of America should move to kick Germany out of NATO. Now, pause for a moment. I understand your response to that is understandably going to be, well, we should just leave NATO. And I agree. I agree. I'm not arguing against that, but hear me out. I think when Western countries, allies of ours, do things like this, I think the United States of America has an obligation on behalf of the free people all over the world to take action. I believe Germany must be flogged publicly for these kinds of laws. The United States of America doesn't need to spread freedom with bombs and bullets and troops everywhere. The United States of America has an obligation to lead on the world stage, and we do not and should not have super close diplomatic ties to tyrannies. And I would be saying this exact same thing. You would be saying this exact same thing if North Korea and the United States of America struck some kind of a free trade agreement tomorrow and Donald Trump was on television with Kim, whatever his stupid face is, celebrating everything. Look how close we are. We're good friends. You would understandably, you'd have every right to run to the camera, if you had a camera, maybe just run to social media and say, no, this is an evil country that suppresses its citizens' freedoms. This is a country where you can't express freedom of thought, freedom of speech, and if you do so, you'll be shot or sent to a gulag. You would have serious, serious complaints if the United States of America became close friends, close allies with North Korea, as would I. So why then is it permissible for Germany to do so? Or the UK? Look, this is not unique to Germany. I don't mean to just call out the Germans. This is taking place across the, quote, free Western societies.
Why am I in cuffs? Because it's something he shared, then I shared.
Because someone has been caused, obviously, anxiety based upon your social media page.
That was police arresting a man for posting something on social media in the UK. Tell me why we should continue to be close allies with the UK. Kick them out of NATO, too. kicked them all out. I realize we should leave, but the idea is punishing them. This should be punished in the same way it's punished in other places. Freedom must be maintained. It must be aggressively maintained. And there's nothing more important than this kind of stuff. We're seeing it everywhere now. Freedom must be maintained. And let's do remember this. I realize I'm happy right now. I'm very, very happy that we are spreading freedom. Let's remember what happened here over the last 4 years. Let's do remember that the communists are not just in Germany. They're not in Canada. They're not in the UK. They're right here. They're called Democrats, and they occupy positions of power all across, not just the federal government, although Trump is working on that. They occupy positions of power in the state government and local governments. Remember this little bit? Remember this little tidbit? Listen to this exchange between Jim Jordan and the FTC. Because you're probably going to, at least you should, ask your liberal Aunt Peggy, who's pro-censorship, ask her who gets to decide who does the censoring. She'll probably give an answer very similar to this.
Some of these speech platforms, why people would be afraid and worried about censorship. I couldn't agree more that when you have a handful of people making decisions about what gets seen, what doesn't get seen, who gets
And you think
heard,
the remedy to that is for government to decide what's disinformation and what's not?
Congressman, at the FTC, our job is to promote competition. More competition means more people making these decisions, and I think that can alleviate some of the concerns about censorship that you're sharing.
They'll always answer that way, you see. When you ask the question, and it's the question you should ask, when liberal Aunt Peggy says this should be censored, this should be banned, this should be banned, the question you should always ask is, by whom? Who's the person who should make these decisions? And that will never be answered in an honest way by her, because she can't. She's a herd animal who's been programmed to think she's against Nazis, against Nazism, that she's fighting the good fight. That's what gave her conscience the permission to fight it. But she's never been taught anything beyond that. So they'll usually give an answer very similar to that. Well, I mean, the FTC, they'll name some department without ever naming an actual person. Well, no, they should do that at the FDA, FBI. You always get some nameless, faceless bureaucracy. Oh, really? What are the motivations behind the people at the FTC? They want everyone to be safe. Really? Who wants to be safe? Who wants everyone to be safe? What are their names? What's their background? There's never an answer. Freedom must be maintained by the United States of America. I love what I'm seeing. I really mean it. To listen to this administration speak that boldly on behalf of the freedom of the peoples inspires me. And contrary to what you may hear, freedom-loving people in Canada, the UK, Germany, whatever, they cheer when our politicians speak like this because they understand the world needs America to be that shining city on a hill. And it feels like right now, again, we just might get back there. All right. Well, freedom also has to be maintained by brave men with guns. Medal of Honor Monday comes next. Let's learn about one.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.